Amen. You guys may be seated. Praise the Lord. How many of you guys watching online actually stood up? Praise the Lord. Amen. Once again, we want to thank you for those watching online. We just pray that as you tune in via Facebook Live, that do your best to worship right there in your houses. How many know it's a little bit different being here at the church than right there in your houses? So it's a little bit different. We do our best and we share the word. We bring everything to you. But I want to encourage you with everything going on. How many know we serve a great God? Amen. So the Bible says, you know, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So really, there's nothing to fear if God is with us. So with that being said, I want to just make mention to come this Sunday. Amen. And be here. Bring somebody. And really just watch how God moves through our lives, because we are the church. Amen. It's you and I. It's the body of Christ. It's not a building. So if you're not here, then the body of Christ is not here. It's almost like the church is not here. So we need you here to be the body of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and turn your Bibles. Daniel chapter 5. I'm going to read this portion of scripture. I pray that those watching online, you have your Bibles with you, as Brother Jason was making mention, and also your notepads. Take some notes. Write things down. I learned this a long time ago, and I've always kept it. I say it. If you know me, I'll say it again. If you only hear a message, you retain 10 to 20% max. 10 to 20% max. If you hear a message and you write down and you take notes, it increases to 50%. You retain 50% of the message. And now we know with everything going on, we need as much as we can get. If you respond to the message, you can say amen. You can say praise the Lord, hallelujah. Anything that you feel like, it increases to almost 80%. So your chances go higher and higher and higher. So I hope that you're well prepared here this night. Amen. Daniel chapter 5, say aloud amen when you're there.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 25, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and I like this portion of scripture. I believe I read it a long time ago, and it just stood out, and I was praying, and it came back to me, and I'm going to bring out just some little areas. So I'm going to get into the message as quickly as I can. I was asking some of the men, the guys, or those that we were going somewhere, and I said, what type of messages is there that you can preach? There's topical, there's illustrative, and then the last one I couldn't think about was expository. So I lean more towards that one, but tonight I'm going topical. If you guys know what it means, look it up. If not, praise God. Verse 25, everybody there? It said, this is the message that was written. Mean, Tekel, and Parson. I could almost stop there. I could almost stop there, but let's keep reading. This is what these words mean. Mean means numbered. God has numbered the days of your reign and has brought it to an end. Tekel means weight. You have been weighed on the balances and have not measured up. 28 says, Parson means divided. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then verse 29 simply reads, then at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was dressed in purple robes, a gold chain was hung around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. Pray with me here this night. Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you, Lord God, as your body, the body of Christ, and we come into agreement, and I simply ask that you remove me to the side for your Holy Spirit to speak through me. I ask of your anointing, help me preach this word, your message with clarity, with effectiveness, Lord God, that we can understand what you have for your church. Bless this time in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody says amen and amen. Go ahead and title this message. We're on the theme of a time to recognize Jesus. So why don't you title this, A Time to Recognize Jesus with What Remains. A Time to Recognize Jesus with What Remains. I know our pastor spoke about applying the Word of God. Our pastor spoke about looking inward, looking at ourselves, evaluating our own lives. And so I believe that this word, this message, ties a lot of that in. Because again, I read these words. I have my daily walk Bible, and I read it, and it keeps me in line, in tune. Amen. I always say this, but you can go to the store. There's an interesting book in the store. If you go there, those of you who like reading, there's a book that was written by, I believe, over 40 different authors. Amen. Those were kings. Some were in prison. Some were lost and bound somewhere, you know, in royalty. It was written over a span of 1,500 years. And it speaks about one story and one man. That book is called the Bible. You can go ahead and get it if you can. Keep it with you. Let it not be dusty, but go ahead and read it. Amen. Just watch what it does within your life. But I read this a long time ago, and it simply spoke and it ministered. And so what I want to bring out is these words. Amen. I want to just bring out these three words, if I can, and just kind of let them fall out into our lives. Because I really believe that us as Christians, how many can say that we serve the Lord? Amen. That we're Christian men, women, youth of God. How many can say amen? Amen. And so as we serve the Lord, there's a lot of things for us to keep in mind. How to be Christ-like, right? How to serve, how to pray, how to be an example, how to model, a lot of things. And one thing that comes to my mind continually is really how the Lord examines our lives. And so I feel that at times we fail to recognize that the Lord really looks down at our lives. And the Bible says he keeps an account. That one day when we go to heaven, that's why, you know, we should do our best to serve the Lord here while on earth. Not have, the Bible even says, do not worry about anything. And so that's one of my favorite scriptures. When I begin to worry, I pray that verse. And I say, okay, God, you allowed me not to worry. So when we begin to worry, we must remember of what God has called us to do. And so if you're there tuning in online, I want you to keep in mind that at times we can evaluate our lives, but I want to kind of point out what God thinks of our own lives. How the Lord looks down at our own lives. I didn't bring it, or I didn't give it to the people there with the scriptures, but you have your Bibles. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. I have my Bible here, so I'm going to just use my Bible. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to read an interesting verse with you. This wasn't part of my notes, but I'm just going to read it. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. They got it on the screens there. It says, if you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed for the glorious Spirit of God. How many are going through some hardships? The Bible says you're being blessed. It says, the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murdering, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs. That was BC. How many can say that was us before Christ? But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. So when we're going through those trials, you just got to praise the Lord a little bit more. Verse 17, for the time has come for judgment. A lot of people don't like that word. They say, don't judge me. But it's biblical. A lot of people say, don't judge me. Well, the Bible says the Lord is going to judge us. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household, meaning you and I. And if judgment begins with us, now catch this, this part gets good. What terrible fate will await those who have never obeyed God's good news? And also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to godless sinners? In other words, you and I, at times we struggle, we can say we're barely making it, but what about the next person? A person that has not heard the good news, does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, the Bible says we should live in victory. Amen. The Bible says we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. I really believe we should always walk with our head up, and we can go through some hard times, don't get me wrong. But we have to know what the Lord has given us. The simple background story here within this message is in chapter 5 there in the book of Daniel, a lot of things kind of took place, and some are familiar with the story and some that are not. But it's written, Daniel writes this, and there's a lot of prophecy about the end times, and I'm not going to get into that, but I really want to focus on these verses, because what they speak about is something that happened to the king there in Babylon. Now, just to make a long story short, Daniel was taken captive, him and three others. We know them as the three Hebrew boys. Total four men were taken captive and took into a foreign land. And after Jerusalem was conquered, because of their disobedience, tell your neighbor, remain obedient. Okay, so you can receive some of this message. You can increase your retainment by 50% right there. You write it down, it'll go up. You can be obedient. So Jerusalem, the city of the Lord, the Holy Land, remained disobedient year after year. And the Bible records that the Lord has sent prophets and people to let them know, to warn them, so to say. And how many know that the Lord gives us warnings through people, through the Bible, through the Word, through prayer, through anything? The Bible recorded he warned somebody through a donkey. He warned somebody through a crow. So he continues to warn us. And they didn't listen, and eventually the city got captured by the Babylonian army, and more so by King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king. Now, they sent into exile, you could read it, find out later, but it was 10,000 Jews were exiled the first time. They came back, destroyed the city, and brought some more Jews into the land of Babylon. Now, in that, you have Daniel, and you have the three men. We all know them as Meshach, and Abednego. But what I want to point out is as they remained there, they weren't in their own land any longer. And so the Jewish people, in a way, or everybody that was being conquered, were forced to live a certain lifestyle. And we can say that it's hard being a Christian in today's day and age, but it was done before. So if it was done before, surely I believe we can do it again. And they not only did it, but they stood out. They were forced to live in a land that worship other gods. I mean, you could line up the little G gods throughout this day, little idols and worldly music and MTV and movies and cars and anything we could worship can turn into a little G god. And that's the lifestyle they lived in. It was surrounded by idolatry, surrounded by people who wanted nothing to do with the Lord, the God of Israel. So you have these four men and they stood out. They decided to still worship God in the midst of their environment. And there's something I want to bring out, because people say you're a product of your environment. There's truth in that, but that's not necessarily so. Because we see Daniel and the three men, they stood out. They weren't a product of their environment. They were a product of their worship. So the question is, who do we still worship? We can worship ourselves, we can worship money, parents, the list can go on. I'm here to let you know you need to worship the Lord. And so as they remain there, there's another interesting statistic, and it says that what determines success rate in an individual, as a child, as they grow up, is not necessarily their ethnic background, it's not necessarily where they grew up, this side of the tracks, that side of the tracks. Because at times we can say, well, I didn't have success because of what I was given. I wasn't successful because I didn't have what other people had. I didn't have those tools. And I was looked down upon. I grew up and I was this and I was that. Statistically speaking, what determines success rate is your literacy rate. That will determine how much you will grow and your success in life is your literacy rate. I mean, the saying always goes, leaders are readers and readers are leaders. And we find, just, you can write it down in Daniel chapter 1, verse 17. It says, God gave these four young men an unusual aptitude for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom. That's what they had. That's why they were set apart. They didn't just flow along with what other people did. They didn't just decide to mellow out and because everybody does it, I'm going to do it. It's okay if they do it. Everybody does it, so it's fine. It's not like that. The Lord gave them a special wanting, a desire. What is your desire here this night? Because their desire was to serve the Lord. And it goes on to say, God gave Daniel the special ability to interpret dreams and visions. And that's what Daniel did. He remained obedient to the Lord. And long story short, this king now, not King Nebuchadnezzar, but King Belshazzar, he had a vision. And a vision simply means a prophetic communication from God. That's as simple as it gets. That is a vision, a prophetic communication from God, a revelation or a vision. We all know Proverbs 29:18, without a vision, people perish. Another translation says, people cast restraint. Another one even says they run wild. We ran wild in the world because we had no vision. We followed anything and everything in the world because there was no vision, there was no direction, there was no purpose. And so we need a vision from the Lord. How many can say amen? Amen. And so here we see Daniel, the four men, they were serving there in Babylon. They were taken captive, being exiled away from their own land, away from their own nature. They could have chosen to complain and murmur and say, this ain't fair, I'm not going to do this. Poor little me, why me? And so on. But they decided to remain obedient to the Lord. You can read it later. I'm just giving you the little background to bring this into here. And because they remained obedient to the Lord, they also did something called fasting. Something that we should look into. Because they fasted, the Lord, I believe, rewarded their faithfulness. And so time and again, the king would have a vision. And he would say, who in all the land is able to interpret this vision? In other words, who still hears from the Lord? Because here, I believe, in this day and age we live in, we need men and women, even youth of God, who still hear from God. Amen. Who are still in tune with the Spirit of the Lord, who are still falling in love with the Word of God. I mean, how many are able to say, I need to read the Bible a little bit more? Amen. We should all be able to say, I can't go even a day without reading of my Word. Because it's the Lord, the God of Israel, who saved me. And that's what makes me. That's what builds everything. And that's what Daniel did. God gave them an unusual aptitude, the Bible records, for understanding and for wisdom by the word of the Lord. So he's able to interpret dreams. And the king, they have another king, and he has this vision. And he has this vision for a reason. I want to share the background so I can get into this. He has this vision because you can find it in chapter 5, verse 1. It says, many years later, King Belshazzar gave a great feast for 1,000 of his nobles, and he drank wine with them. When I read that, I started imagining 1,000 people, right? We invite people over. We have banquets even in the church, in the ministry, and we always do counts. How many are coming? How many tables? And how many tablecloths? And you begin to do this. Could you imagine serving 1,000 people? I mean, the servants that you need, the people, the delegation, the food, the timing, the list goes on and on and on, right? That's all that goes through my mind all the time from now on. So this king had a banquet, and he wanted, I guess, in a way, maybe to show off a little bit. He did something that was wrong, because the king before him, which was Nebuchadnezzar, which was the one that conquered Jerusalem, he stored away the jewels of Jerusalem, the articles, the artifacts, gold, cups. And so he stored away a lot of things. But this king brought them out and used them in a way of dishonor. And so this brings us to the vision that he has. He has this vision, a writing on the wall, hands begin to write. And through all the province, no one is able to interpret. No one knows what is going on. The Bible even records that this king was so scared that his knees even started buckling together. That's how much of a fright gave him. I mean, you know, sometimes the Lord can give us a good scare. So we get this word, we get this vision, and in comes Daniel. Someone says, I know a man filled with wisdom. I know a man who is able to interpret dreams. I wish there was a man, a woman of God who still hears from the Lord. I wish there was someone that was still in tune with the voice of God, that is able to say, don't worry, though everything on the outside may look like it's not right, I know the God that I serve. Amen. Is there still a generation that knows their God? And so Daniel stepped in and he said, I'm not going to interpret this vision for you, but the Lord will interpret this vision. So he knew who his God was. We need to place our faith in the Lord. He came in, he said, okay, this is what this means. And I'm going to focus on just those little words because I believe they bring out a lot onto what we need to learn. Verse 25, he said, this is the message that was written. Mean. That's the only word he says twice. Now he says it because I believe it's more important, major emphasis. Mean, tekel, and parson. This is what these words mean. Now he goes to mean. Means numbered. God has numbered the days of your reign. So I'm going to talk about that one word, numbered. We already have the meaning. We don't have to translate it into Greek and Hebrew and try to get fancy and then put our Bibles away and never apply it or put our books away and never read them all over again. But why did he say this word twice? Why did he bring out even the word numbered? Because you have to remember that the king could have been there for a lifetime. It was up to him to decide really how long his kingdom was going to last. And all he had to do was do what was right. Because how many know that obedience matters?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. How many know that obedience matters?
Amen.
And if you want to make it in the Lord, if you want your days to be numbered, to have good days. I think it continues to speak about Moses, about Abraham, about Jacob. And it's a continuing era that the Bible says that they all died at a good old age. In other words, they served the Lord fully all the way. They all died at a good old age. You see this about all their lives. And I know here this night, I don't know about you, but I want to be able to have a good old age. Not having to worry about, again, what's going on the outside. But I know what my Bible says. And as the more I read of the Word of God, not the outside, not necessarily the news, not necessarily what other people say, because the more I read the Word of God, I gain something called faith. How many need a little bit of faith?
Amen.
Faith comes from hearing, and hearing the Word of God. I gain something called hope. I gain something called perseverance. I gain a lot of good things that the world cannot take away. And so this is important, because the first word that he said was numbered. Your days are numbered. Could you imagine if the Lord were to come down right now and he said, it's over. Your days are numbered. Now we need to draw accounts. Now we need to see what you did with your life. And so this is what he did to the king. So that's it. It's over. You could have reigned forever. And we see this, that he told Solomon, King Solomon, the same thing. He asked for wisdom. And we all know the story. Solomon said, I'm too young. I don't know how to govern your people. Not any people, your people. God said, that's a good answer. I will not only grant you wisdom, but also wealth, also riches, also honor, all these things. But he said, if you serve me and if you follow my commands, your kingdom will last. And we know what happened. Decided to break some commands. And because of that, God had to step in and say, your kingdom is going to be divided. For the sake of your father David, I won't do it in your lifetime. In other words, God is always wanting to bless our lives. God is always wanting to keep us in position. How many want to remain in position? And there's a lot of things I started to look at that word numbered. Because I want my days to be numbered in a good way. And as I started to look at that word numbered, I mean, know that we, at times when we come to the Lord, we can say, well, I kind of numbered, wasted away a lot of days already.
Wow.
Wasted away a lot of years already. I mean, sometimes I can say, man, was that a waste even in the Lord? Because it's hard at times serving. And so what does the Bible have to say about that word numbered? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10. It says, my child, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long good life. How many want a long, good life? All we have to do is listen to the words of the Lord. My favorite word, right? Listen. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. This is for me right here, okay? Write it down and say, this is for Pastor Felipe. Praise God. Those who control their tongue will have a long, good life. How many want to have a long, good life?
Amen.
Control your tongue. Praise the Lord. Those who control their tongue will have a long, good life. Even James says it later on, right? He's the one to say, be quick to listen, slow to speak. Control your tongue. He writes later on, you can control a ship by the wheel. You can control a horse by the bridle. But who can control the tongue? It's for a reason. Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Somebody say, well. How many have ruined a couple of things by opening their mouths? Amen. Praise God. Keep it real. But it's interesting to say we have the answers of living a good life, a long life, that the king missed out on, and God had to step in and say, your days are numbered. But how many are grateful that God has given us another chance?
Amen.
That the Lord doesn't have to say your days are numbered. But the enemy tries to say your days are done for. The enemy tries to come in. And he's the one who wants to creep in and throw lies and say, you messed up.
Stand up.
That's it. Your days are numbered. You messed up. You won't be forgiven. And so that's why we need to know the word of God, that we can have a long, good life. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4. It says true humility. In other words, there's false humility. It's people that try to walk around and act like they're humble and serve and do this and that. And I just say, praise God. Let them just go through that. They'll learn the hard way. True humility and fear of the Lord lead to riches, honor, and guess what?
Long life.
Long life. I mean, I like long life, but it also says honor. How many want some honor in your life?
Yes,
where the enemy, the devil, people talk down and say all these things, but the Lord can say, have a good name about you. It also speaks about riches. It's not a bad thing to have wealth in the Lord if we know how to use it the right way. That's why you start off by saying true humility. In other words, the Lord should always be able to step in and ask what is rightfully His. Because that's the fear of the Lord, and He's able to trust you with riches, with honor, with long life. I believe that, again, we should all be living in victory. We should all be having, the Bible says, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. So if we're not living that abundant life, we have to ask ourselves, there's something wrong with me, not with the Bible. And the king did something wrong and God had to step in. Now, it's interesting, and I was mentioning earlier, I was sharing a little bit about it just to see how it would come out. But the Bible records as calling King Nebuchadnezzar, it records it, and you can find it there in the book of Jeremiah, even in the book of Daniel, I believe. But it's recorded as saying he is God's servant. Even though he was a wicked king, and even though they were known for all the bad, evil things they did, God still used them. He says, it's my plan that I'm going to raise him up to conquer these kingdoms. I raise up and I tear down. The Lord did that. And so this king had an opportunity to learn from the mistakes of those before him. That's why it's important, really, and I stress this out again, to come under and to receive wisdom. And to receive instruction and to receive guidance, because we're being taught by those that went before us. We're being taught by those that already made those wrong decisions, that are saying, don't take this path, don't make the same mistake I made, so that we can gain wisdom, the Bible says, and a long life. If we want a long life, we need to keep God's commands. It's not that word numbers, I kept thinking about it. Numbers is much like time. They're almost indispensable. They're one in the same. Numbers and time. There's a song we listen to by Andy Mineo. It says, time. You just keep going and one day you'll be going on without me. Makes you think, really, of the days that we live. But numbers and time. Everything now is time. Everything now is associated with numbers, with time. How long is this going to take? I'm going to read some minds. How long is he going to preach for? How long is that going to last? When will this happen? You know, how much am I getting paid? How much does this cost? How much? How long? Numbers, time. It's very valuable nowadays within our lives. I have a question here. Today is Friday the 14th, 2020. But I say that to say that more than half the year already went by. We're already at the eighth month. So you're at the eighth mark of the year. And my question is, are we where we want to be in the things of the Lord? Because we don't have that many numbers left. At least not that we know of. But if you're serving the Lord, every time matters. I'm going to read this one first. James chapter 4, verse 13 through 14 in the NIV. It says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will live or we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. That's how the Bible compares our lives to a mist. And if anybody has ever seen a mist, we turn on and off the AC and sometimes we gotta open up a valve and it releases a mist and then it dies off. That's how quickly our life passes away. But it's making me think really of the number. Am I making my time count? I know Pastor's message last time was evaluating your life. Job chapter 14, verse 5. This is for all those that might have some questions and worrying about the pandemic and virus and all these things. Don't worry about it. Just read this verse. You have decided, in other words, the Lord has decided. You have decided the length of our lives. You know how many months we live, and we are not given a minute longer. Now someone asks, well, what is that, you know, how does that entail with everything you just said? It says we're not giving a minute longer. It doesn't say we might not be giving a minute less. In other words, we cannot pass the certain time set that the Lord has already destined. We cannot pass that time, but we can cut it short according to our actions. In other words, the Lord wants us to live a good long life. But if we're not following His commands, if we're not doing His will, then we're not guaranteed. And before you know it, we receive the word numbered. Amen. It's going to get good. Amen. Cheer up. It's a good message. Praise God. The second word that He gives is weighed. And I like this word. There's a lot of meaning in this word. The second word was weighed. And real quick, I want to read this story for you. I like this story. And it's a story about someone that was a sailor. I'm not sure how many people are sailors. If anybody knows about boats, if anybody knows about going out into the ocean, the seas, if you know about sailing, well, call me, invite me. That means, you know, that means you're, what's the word, wealthy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Invite me. I'll hang out with you in a boat. But there was a story about a man, and he was well known in sailing. He wanted to create this boat to go into the oceans, and what he wanted to do was go from New York to France and travel through the open seas. And so this man, his name was Michael Plant. He was a pioneer, right? It says the French called him the top gun of the seas because of his passion for sailing in the wild seas. The story goes, he was energized because of his passion for sailing, and he wanted to travel. No, excuse me, he said this. This may explain why he dubbed one of his circumnavigating boats the Duracell. So he named one of his boats the Duracell. But this race around the world, so he was going to race basically from New York to France, almost around the world. The race around the world, he designed a boat, and it costed him $650,000. That's how much he put into it, into this boat. It was a lightweight fiberglass coated from core sailboat that was extremely fast. He named his promising winner the Coyote. So that's what he gave the name. On October 16, 1992, Michael Plant, launched from New York and with great fanfare, a lot of people, just, you know, great crowd, headed across the Atlantic toward France. The race, if he was successful, would take him over 24,000 miles. I had to look that up. From California to New York is a little bit around 3,000 miles. So he would have to travel from California to New York 8 times to be the equivalent of the 24,000 miles. And it would take him 4 months to complete. But it wasn't long before the trip that Plant began experiencing trouble. No one heard anything from him for several days. And then on October 21st, a passing Russian freighter picked up this transmission. And it says, I have no power. This is Plant now speaking from the boat. I have no power, he told the captain, but I'm working on the problem. And he ended the transmission with his only request. Tell Helen not to worry. Now we can all say that Helen was his wife. The story goes on to say, At this juncture, Plant was almost one third of the way across the Atlantic, but that was the last recorded message. In other words, he didn't make it. His boat, all his experience and everything, something went wrong. After 32 days, the Coyote was finally spotted on a Sunday morning by a Greek tanker. It was drifted upside down about 450 miles north of some place. I don't want to say its word. Now I'm going to go down and read what went wrong. It says here, to this day, no one knows if it was a rogue whale, sea garbage, or just faulty build that damaged the boat. No one kind of really knows. But without the weight of the ballast, the small boat was useless against the cross current and high winds of the open seas. The ballast weight, is in the lowest part of the vessel would give it stability and balance in the rough seas. And without this ballast, without the weight that this boat contained, the vessel would become top heavy and be easily overpowered by the angry ocean. Now it says here, there's one crucial fact to know about sailing if you know nothing at all. For a sailboat to navigate to the open ocean, there must be more weight beneath the waterline than above it. In other words, his weight wasn't proportional. It wasn't enough. And the Lord stepped in and he tells this word to the king and he says, you've been weighted. You have been weighed on the balances and have not measured up. Turn to somebody and ask him, how are you measuring up? Because you can determine this area because weight equals pressure. So the question now becomes, can we handle pressure? Are we able to carry weight? Are we able to handle the pressure? Someone once said this. They said the measure or success, or the measure of success is whether or not you have a tough problem to deal with, but whether it was the same problem you had last year. In other words, we need to overcome these problems. Our weight needs to become greater than the problems around us. Bible records he was weighed. You've been weighed on the balances. You don't measure up. Now I like this because that word measure means an adequate due portion. It also means that they have received a measure of importance, a fixed suitable limit. In other words, what was expected in this case of the king? It was expected for him to do what was right. I spoke about Daniel, and Daniel always did what was expected of his life, which was to honor the Lord. That's why God speaks a lot about Daniel and so little about this king. But that word weight, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1, it says, the Lord detests the use of dishonest scales, but he delights in accurate weights. Now notice how it says he detests the use of dishonest scales. And he was speaking about being weighed. In other words, when we're weighed in the wrong way, when we're not being right before the Lord, when we're not being truthful before the Lord, when we're leaning more towards lies and deceitfulness before the Lord, the Bible says it's a detest when we use dishonest scales. And he said this to the king, I've weighed you, you've not measured up. And in my life, I always ask myself, and even at large, we should be asking of our own lives, how do I measure up according to the Lord? Because a lot of people, and I've heard the saying, a lot of people say, only God can judge me. There's truth in that, my friend, but it's not a good statement. Matter of fact, we should almost be scared that only the Lord can judge us, because he's a just judge and he misses no area. And if he brings us into account as we stand without the blood of Jesus, we're weighed in the wrong manner. So that's why we need, that's why God sent Jesus as a Savior. But I'm going to just speak about you and our lives. How are we weighed before the Lord? I read the story about that boat, $650,000, expert in the sea. But the weight at the bottom, what mattered? In other words, what was inside of him wasn't enough. And here this night, we need to have more on the inside than on the outside. Amen. I believe that too many times we focus on the outside. We look at the external, what he has or what she has, what they're doing, and I want to go, instead of looking at the inside, how is my weight on the inside? How am I before the Lord? As a matter of fact, how does the Lord see me? How does the Lord measure me? When you read the book of Proverbs, it speaks a lot about scales, about weights and scales, and he speaks a lot about saying, make sure your scales are accurate. Make sure your weight is proper. In those times when they wanted to buy something, they would place a product between one scale and the money on another scale. And it had to equal out. It had to balance out in proportion. And you would have people that would set it up so it would already automatically rob you and lean more. So you had to pay more money and give more money. And that's why the Lord is saying, don't you be like someone that has unequal scales just to get your own way. Because the Lord is the one that is judging. The Lord is the one. The Bible says that the Lord is the one that is always looking. And this is an area that we must be fully aware of. How are we weighed? Not before man, but before the Lord. We're here to serve God. We're here to serve the Lord. The Bible says with all our hearts. So ask yourself, I ask myself this all the time, how am I weighed before the Lord? How does God look at my life? I want my life to matter. I mean, I want my days to be numbered, to have good, long life, to be weighed accurately, that God can always trust on me. That when the king said, who is it that can interpret dreams? There was a man that was called Daniel. I mean, how many are there in Victory Outreach Milwaukee, Victory Outreach International, that God can say, who is there? Where is there a man? Where is there a woman, a youth of God that I'm able to speak to that weighs properly, that has the good things on the inside, that is numbering their days a proper manner that I can still speak to? Because that is what we need in this day and age we live in. Amen. That word detest means abhor. It means to despise. It means an abomination. It means to hate and to loathe. In other words, the Lord can look at our lives in this manner. If our scales are not accurate, if our weight is off, I'm not talking about physical weight, I'm talking about spiritual weight. If our spiritual weight is not right before the Lord, this is how it looks. God looks at it. And I want to draw this out, because if God gave this statement to a king, and a pagan king, that not necessarily worshiped the Lord, but he could have remained there being a servant of the Lord, God could have still used him. If this is how God gave this king these words, how much more will God give you and I those same words? We, who the Bible says are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, his very own special possession, brought out of darkness into the light. I mean, I don't know about you, but I was brought out of darkness. Are there any here this night that you were brought out of darkness? How many are grateful you're not doing the same things that you used to do? You're not partying anymore on a Friday night. But now we have to transfer that into the light. We have to transfer that into our days being numbered in the right way. Every day should matter within the Lord. Every day should be exciting in Jesus. There should never be a dull moment when you serve the Lord. And if there is, there's something wrong with you, not with me. I mean, I don't know about you, but I love serving the Lord every day. I look to see what else God has for me. I look to see how much more I can do for God. I look to see in those areas. And when that does happen, then you begin your process with the Lord begins. Your growth with the Lord begins. And God begins to implant so much more within your life. Because these are the areas I believe that the Lord is looking within our lives, and he's asking and he's seeing. And I don't want the Lord to look at me. I don't want the Lord to look down and say, I'm an abomination within his life. I don't want God to look at my life in that manner, because I want my scales to be accurate. I mean, how many want your scales to be accurate here this night? Amen. Said, you have been weighed on the balances and have not measured up. We have to examine ourselves and ask myself, how am I doing? Not before man, before the Lord. Because when you please God, he'll give you conviction to please man. He'll give you conviction to please that leader and say, it's not about necessarily serving. You're serving the Lord. God will give you conviction. God will be able to say, you're wrong. You have to go do what's right. You have to be weighed the right way. And that's your true walk with the Lord, especially as men, women, youth of God, especially as Christians. I really believe as Christians, we should stand out. As servants of the Lord, we should stand out. Everyone, really, I believe, should want what we have. I mean, everyone should be able to look and say, wow, you have a long, good life. I don't know. I mean, I think I look younger and younger every year, right? I don't age. But I really believe that people should be attracted to who we serve, which is the Lord. The king was able to say, if you interpret this message, I'll give you all these things. And Daniel even told him, you keep those things. I don't even want those. I don't need them. But I'll interpret the message because of what God is doing within my life. That's the answer right there. You don't have to chase no job and chase no... It'll chase you if you're in the right position. It'll follow you if you're serving the Lord the right way. People will come asking for you. You don't have to be saying, hey, look at me and here I am. We see you anyways. The question is, does God see you? Is God looking at you? Is God saying, okay, where are you at prayer time? It's good to tune in, but I want to tune in on prayer time. I want to tune in with the Lord and not miss my personal relationship and not continue to be weighed the wrong way, because I was weighed the wrong way for way too long.
Amen.
The last word that he gives them, verse 28, it says parson, and it means divide. It says divided. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. I'm going to begin to close out. I don't know if the worship team can make their way. But it says, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Now notice how the Babylonian kingdom at that time was one of the greatest kingdoms, and they were able to conquer not only the city of Jerusalem, but many others. And they thought that they would last, but God said, because of what you have done, your kingdom is now divided. In other words, if we want to last, God is the one that has the ultimate say-so. God gave Solomon the same consequences. So how are we handling our affairs that has been given to us by the Lord? And the Bible records, now we are a new creation. All things have passed away. You're a new creature in Christ. So hear this night as a new creation. If you are a new creation, your days should be numbered in good days. Your days should be numbered in a good manner. You should rejoice every day, the Bible says. The book of Psalms records, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. It also says, better is one day in the house of the Lord than 1,000 elsewhere. I've learned that lesson. Better is one day serving God on my most hardest days than 1,000, than what I had before I met the Lord. Better is one day in the Lord. It's what keeps me going forward. Being able to know, I know who I was when I was lost. I know who I was before Jesus stepped into my life. So we all stand here this night. Right there, if you, those tuned in, just stand with me for a few more moments. A new life. The Bible records we have been given a new life. But we cannot take this life lightly. I believe that at times we take Christianity, serving the Lord, lightly. We take coming to church lightly. We take saying, okay, well, I don't have to go and I got other things to do. I mean, what's more important than God? That's how simple this gets. Did the Lord not give his one and only son to rescue us? Did he not send, the Bible records, while we were still yet powerless sinners? In other words, we had no way out. I could talk about myself. I had no way out. I tried everything. And I say this again and again, those that don't know of my testimony, I did the best of both worlds. I partied, I knew how to manage, how to spend my money, how to pay bills and party and pay bills and party. And it got boring. It was a cycle I could never escape on my best day. But one day, when Jesus stepped into my life, the Bible says, I didn't choose him, he chose me. And God is speaking to some of you here this night. Maybe we've been spending our days in the wrong manner. Whether we're saved, we know the Lord, we don't know the Lord, maybe in the Lord, we've missed some days. Maybe we're able to look and say, man, I don't feel adequate. I don't feel that I have what it takes. It drives me to this point of being divided. The Lord says that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. In other words, we have to make up our mind. Am I in or am I out? When I got saved, I made up my mind and said, there is no going back. If I do this, I do it all the way, or I don't do it at all. That's who I was. That's why at times I can't relate and I can't comprehend. I say, well, I don't know what, I just did it, gave everything. Because I know who I was and I know my days. I know what I could do. And I decided from that day forth, I'm just going to follow the Lord. That all my days, I don't care if those days are hard days. I had some bad days in the world. They cannot be better than those bad days. I know what I could do. I think God can do a little bit more than what I already did. Unless a kingdom is divided against itself, it cannot stand. But then I like this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the New Living Translation first. It says, work hard. How many have been working hard? It says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. I think this verse is for me right now. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. But now we're going to read it in the New King James Version. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Remember, God stepped in and gave the king this vision. It's the Lord that steps into our lives and speaks into our lives. It's God Himself who is the one working in and through our lives. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. We should want God's approval. Amen. And you're able to go through battles. You're able to recognize and acknowledge. You're able to see as the Lord sees. But then He says, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, now the Bible says that if anything, we should be dividing. It should be the Bible. If anything should be open within our lives, it should be the Word of God. If anything should be guiding our lives, if anything, we should be spending some time dividing the Bible to see what it has to say about my days that are left, to see what it has to say when I go through some hard times. Am I opening up the Bible to see what it has to say about that specific area when I have trouble in a relationship? Do I open up the Bible to see what it speaks about in the area of relationship? When I'm going through financial issues, do I open up the Bible? Do I divide the Word of God, the Bible says, that I may know the praises of Him who called me? Do I divide the Word of God? Am I spending my time in the Lord? Because that's what Daniel did. Daniel was a man that just stood in the presence of God. And because of that, he was sought out. And I believe that's what should happen within all our lives. That we should be able to be sought out by God Himself. Because we're spending time with God. We're able to let others know of what God has for their lives. We're able to point others in the right direction. Because that's who we should be. I read this quote, and I'm just going to read it. We could finish off here this night. It said, Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to bring dead people to life. I read that. I thought about it. I said, oh my God. That's what happened to me. I believe that's what happens to a lot of us. It's not necessarily we were bad. It's that we were dead on the inside. The Bible records we were dead in our transgressions. Paul goes on to say, it is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. I've died to sin. I believe too many times we're dead, not to sin, we're dead in sin. Sin grabs a hold of our lives. And our days get numbered in the wrong way. We're not able to have the proper balance, the proper weight within our lives to last to the storms and the currents within our lives. And so we get divided, tossed to and fro. But here this night, the Lord is always saying there's still a chance. There's still an opportunity. The Bible says, make the most out of every opportunity. Do not live as unwise, but live as wise. Not being filled on wine that leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a scripture that I always pray. I say, God, you need to fill me with your Spirit. You need to fill me with your Word. You need to fill me with who you are. I won't make it. I mean, something I've been doing lately more is just praying the Word of God. It says, John 15:7, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And if we understand that concept and grasp the reality of knowing how much we need the Lord, and saying, God, if you called me, then you have to keep me. If you stepped into my life, you have to do something within my... I want my days to matter. How many want your days to matter? Amen. How many want to be able to have some good way, a balance within your life? That you won't be able to be tossed around anymore. That you can say, my life is not going to be divided. My life will last, as they sing the song. So here this night, why don't you just focus on those words as they sing? Just allow them to minister. Right there in your houses, though it may be different, close your eyes. Allow the Lord to touch you right there where you find yourself, in your houses, in your homes, those tuning in online. Allow God to increase.